everybody. This is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net. And today I'm here with my friend Katja. How's it going, Katja?
Pretty good. Staying kind of snug.
No, it's winter. It's cold over here too. And so we're certified intuitive eating counselors. And we have our intuitive eating video series. And today our topic is intuitive eating and weight loss, truth and misconceptions. So we want to present this topic because it's a very common thing for newcomers to think that this intuitive eating will lead to weight loss. And we're going to discuss that. So Katja, let's start off with, what is the cause of weight gain? Why does that happen?
You know, it's anatomically, in other words, by the body, it's because your body is afraid of starvation. I mean, we're geared to put on weight because we are hunter-gatherer type animals. We had to take advantage of what we could find when we found it and keep enough for another time in case we didn't find something quite right away. So, you know, our bodies are set up to hold on to excess, or I call them reserves, and that's a normal function. So you do gain some weight, and then, of course, it would let it go when it didn't really feel like it needed it. But, you know, the weight gain that people are dealing with now, or, you know, when their mind is on that, is excess because of other factors. It's your body being stressed by either your attitude or your environment or your desire. You know, you're fighting with it because you want to be thin and your body's not really meant to be thin. So, you know, you and your body come, and so guess who wins? Your body.
Right. And we talked a lot about weight cycling. Well, people call it yo-yo dieting, but the same idea where you start at a certain size and then you lose weight on your diet. And then when that happens, your metabolism goes down a little bit because it's thinking, oh, it's a famine or there's a food shortage. And so when you start to eat again, your metabolism being slower makes you gain the weight that you lost and then some. So that's one weight cycle. And then when you do the next dieting cycle, you're starting at a higher point. So you lose weight, then you gain that weight back and then some. So each time you go through a dieting or weight cycle, you end up being at a higher weight, and that's what really causes the weight gain. It's ironic in that you diet to lose weight, but it makes you gain weight.
Right. I mean, you can't fool your body. It's like fooling yourself. I mean, that in the back of your mind, you know that, but in your body's case, it's saying that, hey, you know, I know what I need, and I'm going to get it. And to the point of where it drives you to eat because it wants it so bad that, you know, this is what craving's all about, is it's your body saying, look, I don't feel comfortable, I want more, and I'm going to get it.
Our bodies are so smart, I know. I was actually at a group when I first started my recovery for my eating disorder, and there was a man there, probably a little bit younger than me, and he was talking about he was restricting so much, and he hadn't eaten for days where he just wanted to eat ketchup. There was ketchup by him. And he was like, I want to eat this. And it's a condiment. But he was so hungry. His body was like, I need any kind of fuel I can get. And that made me realize our body just needs fuel. And if it just means that, we need ketchup because we have nothing else around us. And that's what you consume. But it was really interesting to me that he went that far. And that's what people do sometimes. They fast for days.
I know. Well, again, if we're hunter-gatherers, there might be times when you don't find food, but, you know, a need for ketchup, a crave like ketchup, well, I can see in a way that having some logic behind it, because it's vitamin C, it's got a lot of vitamin C, and tomato is an acidy type thing, so your stomach can receive it easier than some others and such. You know, so, I mean, and what is available, you know, it's nice and bright and shiny, and your body says, oh, so, and it's, of course, another one of the forbidden foods. So there's all these factors that drive it. You know, I mean, we're fighting our own nature, and that's not really good.
Absolutely. So one thing that newcomers often do is make this into the hungerfulness diet. And so what does that mean, and how is that different than what IE actually is?
Well, you know, the hungerfulness diet is reason we laughingly call it a diet is because you're using just those two factors. It's a matter of externally applying rules and saying, okay, here, this is what I've been told. I will eat only when I'm hungry, and I'll eat only to fullness, and I'll be fine. And so you're using these limits that are outside of yourself, instead of what intuitive eating wants you to take and say, one minute, tune back into your body. Is your body hungry? And if it is, feed it and eat it only until it says, okay, I'm fine, I've had enough. And so there's the difference. I mean, you know, again, it's what's externally or you know, from outside source applied a rule or something versus what your body is telling you it really wants and needs.
Yeah. And for me, I lived by the rules when I dieted and had my eating disorder. It was part of my life. And so thinking intuitive eating as a set of rules, it made me feel comfortable, you know, I eat only when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full and that's it.
Yeah.
And I have to be more flexible over time because that's not how it is. You know, if I go to a party and someone has cake for their birthday, I'm not hungry, but I'm going to eat it because I want to be sociable. You know, or sometimes I have to eat when I'm hungry because I know I'm not going to have access to food for 3 hours. And so I need to be flexible. And the rigid rules of the hunger fullness diet doesn't really work because that's not really intuitive.
No, I think that's another misnomer is the term intuitive. Everyone thinks, well, if it pops into my mind, I'll go get it. Well, that's part of it. It's using your body to direct you, but at the same time, it's also understanding that, you know, what is it, really what's happening that's directing you? Is it because you need to, or is it, and we've addressed this too with hungers. There's body hunger, and then there's emotional hungers, and there's social hungers. You know, it translates into a need for food, but it's really not what the driving factor is.
Right. Yeah. So one thing that people also do when they diet is they see it as a short-term type of thing. Mm-hmm. But intuitive eating is very different. How is it different? Is it a long-term thing? Is it a short-term thing?
Well, dieting, again, short-term, you start at a starting point, you have a goal, and you get there. You know, it's 1, 2, 3. It's a progression that you can supposedly measure, and it's measured based on one thing, your weight. Whereas intuitive eating it's actually returning back to your own body as the expert in your life, and it's something that you're going to do throughout your life. When you're 90 and on your deathbed, you're still eating intuitively. And it's not something that you have to impose. It's something that you just don't, in fact, after a while, don't even think about. You just naturally do it, which is what we were supposed to do, as opposed to saying, oh, if I eat this, has it got enough calories? This, you know, the diet, you know, you have too many parameters going on. So your intuitive eating is something for life. I mean, for joyful life, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely not short term. And I hate like quoting Weight Watchers, but it's a lifestyle change, but not in a dieting way like Weight Watchers. It's something that is really hard to start off. And you may feel like, and I felt this way, that there's no way I can do this long term, because the first part of intuitive eating is stressful. It's overwhelming. It is not easy. But I find that with me and when I'm on the forum with people, that once they get past that initial few stages where it's really exhausting, they can't imagine going back. And it becomes long-term naturally because they can't imagine counting calories and being a slave to the scale and worrying about, you know, if their pants fit. It's just, it's freedom.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, I mean, when you first start, the reason it's so difficult is because you are still dragging along the ball and chain of dieting. You have the rules and you're trying to work. It's like playing tennis with basketball rules, you know. Good luck on it. But you know, that's sort of what's happening is you're not yet with the game or whatever it is. And then once you get into the groove of it, I sort of call it sometimes the intuitive eating waltz, where you know it's a step forward, a step to the side, step back, and then but once you get into the rhythm and the movement of it, then you know, it's natural. It's like, oh, this is great and joyful. And you can't think of going back to, you know, like, you know, a forced march.
Another misconception that people have is that intuitive eating means you can eat anything you want. Is that accurate? Tell us about that.
Yes and no. You can choose to eat anything, but you're responsible for those choices. And, you know, and you're supposed to be targeting does your body really like what you're eating? And how, what is the end results? It's not just what does it taste like, or the freedom to do that. And because that's a reactionary thing to dieting restriction. You know, is you want to, I haven't had this in ages, and I'm going to go out and I'll eat it till I can't put another bite in my mouth and such. But, you know, you find that there are some foods that your body likes, some foods that your body doesn't appreciate. It's like, oh no, if I eat this, I'm going to know about it in a couple hours, or, you know, it really doesn't make me feel good. And so you learn to, or you through experimentation and practice, you learn that which food really enjoys, and that'll change over time too. So you're flexible. And if you want to eat it and you have horrible results, go ahead and eat it. You know you're going to have them. That's fine. You made that choice. And you're responsible for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, some people, when they first start, they think, I can just eat like pies and donuts and, you know, carbs or whatever. They go berserk. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, first of all, your body is deprived. But on the other hand, mm-hmm. they think that this is intuitive. I can eat whatever I want. And like you said, there's some parameters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not rules, but they're parameters. And so, yeah, you can eat a whole pie if you want, but are you being intuitive? Are you listening? Does it still taste good after the first or second slice? You know, are you still hungry? You don't have to stop, but do you want to continue? And your body may not appreciate it, like you said, after you've had half a pie or so. And like you said, there's some foods that people just don't agree with them. Like some people are lactose intolerant, you know, and it's not like you can't have the milk or the yogurt or whatever, but you're choosing not to. Like, I'm one of the unfortunate souls who can't have chocolate. I'm allergic to caffeine. It upsets my stomach. And so I could choose to have it, but I'd be nauseous and upset to my stomach. And so I choose not to eat it because that would be the consequence. And I want to take care of myself. And mm-hmm. that's self-care. I don't want to feel nauseous.
Right. It's a full spectrum choice. It's not just, you know, I mean, we associate eating with our taste, mm-hmm. but it's a fuel and nutrition supply mechanism. So it's not just what it tastes like, it's what it does for our entire body. So your choice has to look, you know, over the whole process and rationale. I mean, yeah, it's too long been deprived maybe of tastes and such like that. So, you know, and all the, you know, like little kids, we want to rebel. I mean, it's natural. We're tired of being told not to do things. But you still have to live with the consequences, and it may be hours and even a day or so later before you realize, oh, this wasn't a good idea. And it's hard to associate. So it takes practice and experimentation to you find out which foods are good for you and which foods, you know, don't really, you want to lose those off your list of choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big misconception, step to this, is weight loss. What is the connection between intuitive eating and weight loss, or is there one?
Yeah, you know, everyone, that's the gold star question. And, you know, weight loss, if you focus on the weight loss routine, then you're going to end up in diet-type practices, you know, which you're going to set your body up to fighting with it. I found from personal experience, and many other gals have too, or people that have done the intuitive eating routine, is that long-term, if you stop fighting with your body and you start making choices that pleases it, over time, the body starts trusting, you know, like you used to didn't trust your body because dieting tells you not to trust your body. Well, over time, your body learns to trust you again and says, okay, I'm not facing famine every 5 minutes. And, you know, I can relax. I call it releasing. I don't call it losing weight. I say your body releases it. It says, I don't need this anymore. I'm tired of dragging it around. And it does let go of it. If you, you know, aren't force feeding it extra anyhow, you know, it has to deal with what you do. And if you give it too much of whatever, it's going to have to do something. And usually, and it's predetermined, just put it into, you know, reserves or fat, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's not the be all end all. We gain and lose weight all the time. I mean, my increments and little amounts, but, you know, and it depends on other factors than just food. You know, if you're stressed, your body's going to hold it. So you're learning to let your body be the decision maker on that. and doing what it can to, you know, you're getting back in step in conjunction with the body.
I love the word release as opposed to lose weight, just because mm-hmm. it makes it sound like the body's doing it naturally. Like, I'm releasing this, I'm done with it, you know, and it's mm-hmm. it's a choice that it's doing as opposed to us imposing. We're going to lose weight. And so I love that term.
Yeah, I do too. I keep reminding myself of that. And I don't call it fat. I call it reserves, which is really what it is. I mean, it's a storehouse of energy and some nutrition so that your body, if it didn't have it available, could have the access to it.
Yeah, when I hear that question about, will I lose weight with intuitive eating, I always start with depends, because it really does. Like, I was someone who was underweight, and so I had to gain weight to be at a healthy weight, and this is my natural weight now. Whereas others may start past or above their natural weight, and eventually they may lose weight because that's where their body's most comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I know people wanna hear, yes, you'll lose weight after you gain weight initially, but it doesn't always work that way. And I think that finding your natural weight is, it takes time, and it's hard to wait and not know what that weight is for you.
Another factor is, as some have addressed and call it, is a set point. Your body pretty much knows what it wants and the level it's comfortable with. And, you know, you may not, your set point, unfortunately, could ratchet up over time as we get older. I mean, this is natural aging if you really look at it. But the thing is with the set point is, the way I understand it, or at least made it logical for myself, is, as children, our bodies grow, but as adults, our bodies don't ungrow. So, you know, for me to expect my body to go back to what I was as a teen or a young 20s or something like that is not realistic. And I could force it into it, but it's, you know, here we go again. We're in a fight with our own body, and guess who wins? It's not me. The body is very important, because that's the vessel I live in. And it's gonna do what's best for it, irregardless of what I do, as much as possible.
So if someone starts at what they believe is their ideal weight, does that mean they won't gain weight when they start intuitive eating?
Well, you know, most people do experience a little weight gain, but I don't consider it a weight gain due to intuitive eating. I consider it the last leg of the dieting cycle, because they're at their ideal weight because of dieting. But we also know that what happens once you stop doing the dieting activities and such like that, your body will go back and regain what it can. And so, you know, again, I don't attribute the gain, even though there is some freedom and we do eat and go a little bananas at first, you know, that has something to do with ES. But that's not because of intuitive eating. It's because we're learning intuitive eating. Or reconnecting with it, I should say.
Yeah, very nice. I also want to point out the word ideal, because ideal in someone's mind may be different than what their body actually feels most comfortable at. So their ideal may be a certain weight, but maybe their body feels best at a little higher weight, because that's just their set point. And so I think that those can intersect occasionally, but yeah. Often they don't. People want to be thinner than what their body wants to be at, you know, their natural weight.
We have our genetic makeup. We're going to, you know, I look at weight in the same way that I would have shoe size or height. You know, I mean, I can't change my shoe size. I can't make my feet smaller, short of doing what the Chinese did with binding. And I can't get myself to grow taller unless I had my bones cut and I had it stretched or something. I mean, that type, when you say it that way, you see how drastic it is to try and change what is you. I mean, you can change your hair color. That's easy to do. You can put on makeup and have and wear different clothes and such like that. Or even, you know, like they did in the Victorian era with the corsets, where they squeeze their little waists and everything and hardly breathe. But it's still artificial, and it's not what your body. I mean, being kind to you, this is the body you live in. You've got one. This is it. It's for life. And so being as kind as you can to, you know, and appreciate it as the vessel and companion. I call it my very best friend, the most best friend I can ever have. And so if I'm not kind to it, I'm not being kind to myself.
You mentioned the corsets. That reminds me of how we have Spanx now. That's just the modern day corset. You know, everything's just kind of sucked in and squeezed together just so you can look a certain way in a dress or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. And the modern fabrics. I mean, you know, I you can see I tend to wear constructed things. I like to sew, and so I have made my own clothes, and I enjoy that. But, you know, most of the fabrics now are knit jersey, t-shirty type of material. And I can't wear that. I look like a sack of potatoes with lumps all over the place. So I tend to stay away from those because it doesn't look good on me. But, you know, this is understanding the choices you have and making the one that's best for you is what intuitive eating is about. Dieting is about imposing other standards and other ideals and thoughts on you. I mean, it's, I think dieting really, if it doesn't start when you're real young and get its toehold, you know, then, you know, later on in life, I mean, that's, I didn't really diet that much, and I was told to diet later on, and I did it, and I had the same consequences. It had nothing to do with how me and my genetic factors. It had to do with the fact that I was imposing on my body, and my body didn't like it and fought back.
So one last topic before we stop for the day, and that's exercise, because that goes hand in hand with, you know, food restriction when you diet. Mm-hmm. So do you have to exercise when you do intuitive eating?
You don't have to do anything. This is more a learning of going back to what is most appreciated again by your body. And I love the way Lise, one of the authors, stopped calling it exercise and started calling it movement. Because that's what really what we're our bodies are for, is to move and do things. We're not a plant. We're not in one spot. But, you know, the manic exercise, the militant exercise that we've done is imposing on our body, and unrealistic in most cases, as the food choices. You know, there was a video way back that I wish I'd found and kept a copy of, but it showed how exercise doesn't necessarily do what people think it does. You know, it has its good points. Yes, absolutely. And if you enjoy it, wonderful, go for it. You know, but at the same time, if you're doing it just to purge, it's called actually exercise purging. You know, if you're doing it just to purge excess of calories, you know, it's not achieving what you and your body really want. You know, I mean, you'll end up in the intuitive eating over time, and it doesn't encourage you to do that initially. You know, it's, you'll want to move. You want, your body feels better when it moves. It's you like being able to be capable of doing certain things. So, yes, you will have movement, but to take and say, oh, I've got to have 20 minutes or 30, one gal, 45 minutes on the treadmill every morning, you know, that's just not something your body, you know, who wants to jump out of bed and immediately do 45 minutes on the treadmill? You really want to do that? You'll do it because you think you want the results. But I know about you, I'm not ready to spring out and run around the block at 7 in the morning.
I know what you mean. And a lot of people think gym when they think of exercise too. And there's so many other ways you can move. You know, it doesn't have to be exercise, but movement. You can dance. You can do yard work. You can in the house. I mean, anything. You can walk the dog. That's all movement, and it all helps, you know, your bones and your muscles, and it helps your, you know, your mental health. You feel good. The endorphins come. And so there's a lot of good things to movement. And if I know when I think of it as movement as opposed to exercise, I feel calmer about it. I don't feel as rigid with it.
I also think in terms of the tortoise and the hare. You know, you can go zipping down the way and then run out of energy, and the old tortoise just plods along, and eventually gets there too. They both move. But which one suits you best?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to end this.
Okay.
Suits you best. Very intuitive.
Yeah.
So, audience, something for you to ponder. Think about some of the misconceptions you may have about intuitive eating, and put them in the comment section below, and then Katya or I will get back to you and kind of discuss it, and we'll go from there. So again, everyone, thank you for joining us. And Katya, thank you for meeting with me and sharing your thoughts.
Well, I love hearing from you too, because each of it feeds back to me, and I get a lot out of it too. So thank you very much for doing these, Debbie.
Absolutely. So audience, again, this is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net. Please like, comment, and subscribe, and share, and see you later. Take care. Bye.